Hi there, this is A Big Country. I'm Edwina Farley. It's pretty difficult to keep your spirits up when you're in the grip of a drought. It's hard to see the beauty around you when you look out on a stark, barren landscape. On this week's show, though, we'll meet some ladies from North Queensland who've pulled out their cameras ready to record their everyday life. Their images are remarkable and beautiful. Sticking with the arts, we meet an Englishman who travels the world as a chainsaw artist. Check out a huge housing development site on Queensland's Sunshine Coast that doubles as a cattle property, and drop in at an aged care facility in northern New South Wales, where two special horsey visitors have made an appearance.
My name is Alison and I live here in Rathgar. We have been brought out here into the lovely weather to see the horses. I find it really great. I love the horses.
Now, those horses in question are two Clydesdales called Angus and William, and they're certainly a hit with the residents. That story later in the show. But let's get started in Hughenden in North Queensland, a region that's been in drought for more than 6 years now.
This poor old tree, this is the one that featured in one of my photos for the exhibition. I was taking the dogs for a run and checking the troughs the other morning, and it was a wild, windy Saturday morning, and the clouds were just an incredible formation, and I just stopped and looked and just knew I had to take a photo of it, because that was my backyard at that point in time. It was just too beautiful an opportunity to miss.
Even in the grip of relentless drought, Kerry Davison can still see the best in her landscape. Precious moments at sunrise and sunset on Nokolichi Station here in North Queensland are recorded on her camera, which is never far away. G'day, I'm Charlie McKillop. Kerry is one of a group of amateur photographers in the Hughenden district, about 5 hours' drive west of Townsville, who've been taking part in a special course called the My Backyard Project. Professional photographers have been brought in to teach people like Kerry how to use their cameras to get the best out of their images. She's giving me a few pointers as the sun sets on another hot, dry day.
This time of the day is a nice time because the cattle are all leaving the water and they're just heading out to graze for the night.
I'm going to have to take a photo of that.
Yeah.
Look at you looking after my composition, making sure I've got a nice frame.
Well, there's not too many very nice trees here. We've got a lot of sad ones, but that one's half interesting.
Right.
It's amazing when you shift the focus point to suddenly it comes clearer.
Kerry, I don't know. I guess this is something that you just see every day, but does it ever stop taking your breath away to see the sun sink below the horizon like that?
When it drops, it just goes really fast. But every day is that little bit different. We don't have cloud too much. So when we do have cloud, we get a bit excited and look for it. But just different angles, you just got to turn back and see what you're seeing today. But yeah, sunrises are just as good.
Through the lens of their cameras, Kerry and the other course participants have been able to find beauty where others might only see bare paddocks and empty dams. And now, after months of hard work in the field and in the editing suite, the My Backyard Photography exhibition is going on show. It's being officially launched to a packed house at the local library in Hughenden.
But I have to say, from my point of view, it's been a real pleasure, and I'm just delighted to see the quality of the work here. I would have been happy to have taken any of these images. I think they're fantastic.
Everyone's Kathy Friel is one of the professional photographers involved in the My Backyard project. She explains why putting these images into the public domain is such an important part of the process.
We get really used to our images staying on our computers, and it just, you never get to another level if you don't take it out of the electronic media and put it onto paper. So this time we thought, let's do something that we get something on the walls, the exhibitors get to have some online support in order to get to that point, and take them through the stages of editing, managing their files, and then printing it.
They needed a deadline.
They needed a deadline. And I think they needed to start being more evaluative about their images. So they needed to actually look at the image and decide which one was a better image instead of just getting excited about everything. Working out what made a good image and what made an image not work so well. That big step forward. And I can see the joy that they're seeing with the prints from tonight. I think they're going to be highly motivated now.
What does it mean to you? Because often it's professional photographers like yourself who come into rural communities seeking to capture the essence of a community or the landscapes and whatever else there is to offer. But in this sense, you have empowered someone else to do that.
And I love it, because if you take someone from outside the region, and while I grew up here, I'm no longer living within this region, and if I'd been asked to come out here and represent Hughenden, I probably would have come out and thought about the drought. My parents are long-term graziers. I probably would have come out with an attitude of capturing a preconceived idea about what Hughenden's about. I definitely would have gone and focused on some things like the solar farm and the new exciting things that are happening, but really, I would have been portraying my impression that I get from elsewhere, from outside looking in. And the really exciting thing about this is from inside looking out. And these images are beautiful and they're full of joy and there's a lot of reflection and a lot of messages about what they love about living in this area. And it's really different to what I would have focused on, or any other professional would have focused on.
My name's Anita McNamara. I'm from a sheep and cattle station 90 k's southwest of Hughenden. And I took this photo at shearing out at Woodsbury. The wool class's name is Nadi Thompson. She was from Hughenden but lives in Longreach now. I'll set the camera on action mode because her hands move so quickly as she skirts the fleece that I couldn't get anything apart from blur otherwise. So I like the detail. I love her Maori tattoo on her hand as well. And yeah, I think it just takes me straight back to the shearing shed pretty well.
Olivia Price is a young mum who lives on a cattle station about 30 kilometres out of town. She never imagined she'd be here looking at her framed images on public display.
Oh, it's a pretty good feeling being able to have the prints printed, because that's the thing, we often do these courses and or get out in there and use our cameras, but it's not often we print them, so to see it, you know, all framed up and have like an exhibition like this, it's really good to see. Yeah, look, there's a lot of beauty, whether there's water or not, you learn to see the beautiful things.
Tell us about this one, Olivia.
Well, I was actually on a water run. I was actually trying out a new lens that I got, and yeah, I come across these finches at a turkey's nest, and yeah, it just amazed me. I was super fast and a bit hard to capture. But, you know, I sat down there on my hands and knees and crouched down and stalked them for a bit. Finally got a few good ones.
Back on Nokolichi Station, the fanfare of the exhibition launch has passed. But the skills and perspective gained has given Kerry Davison the ability to ponder the possibilities of a new day, with or without the rain that's so desperately needed.
Everything, yeah, just the little things, just turn the camera around, look at a different perspective. Composition. Move aside so the sun's by itself, the trees by itself. Just look at things a bit different. And Kathy always would say, then look back over your shoulder to see what's behind you.
How difficult is it to see beauty and to find objects that you want to record?
Yeah. Middle of the day is not much chop. At the end of the day and the beginning of the day, it just gives you a bit of heart that there's something a bit softer about the land instead of the harshness that gets you down.
It is carving sculpture purely with the chainsaw, and that's an area I like to specialise in rather than using any other tools. For me, it's how far can I go.
When you need to list an occupation, chainsaw sculptor isn't one that readily springs to mind. But it's what UK-born artist Adam Humphreys does. He uses a chainsaw to create life-size sculptures out of blocks of wood. Hello, I'm Tim Fuchs. I'm in a paddock just outside Murrumbateman near Canberra in the Australian Capital Territory. It's been turned into a gallery of sorts for a special sculpture exhibition, and Adam Humphreys is one of the featured artists this year. His work is a painstaking piece of art. He's just finished an extraordinarily detailed sculpture of a person holding a chain and leaning back, all created using a chainsaw.
And normally I have a chainsaw with a slight point on it, but I was unable to fly with it this time, so I've just used the regular old farm chainsaws to do this sculpture, which has been an extra added challenge, which I think has probably been very good for me.
Dare I ask, how did you get into it?
I fell into it completely. I did study art at school. I went to a Steiner school, which I think probably sowed the sort of creative seed, but I didn't study it further. I used tree surgery to pay my way through university, and from learning to chainsaw on the farm, that was a kind of handy way to make a bit of cash quickly. And it just developed into getting distracted one day, having a go at a carving, and then eventually I found myself here at the Chris Galleries on my post-university gap year. No idea what was on the other side of the gap, so I call it a gap year. It's still going. And after doing some work on the farm with Pete and showing him a carving and a few bottles of red wine, I ended up with my first ever exhibition here at the Chris Galleries, and that's when I became a chainsaw sculptor rather than just a lost backpacker.
How old are you, Adam?
I'm 31 now, so just about too old for working holiday visas, as I've just found out. So I'm glad I packed in all the uncertain charging around when I was a bit younger.
So when it comes to a chainsaw sculpture, I've got many questions. First question, what kind of wood?
Preferably a hard softwood, which is quite confusing, but I find the hardwoods are good, but they tend to be brittle, and so the finishes on them, I tend to have to leave things a bit more solid, so nothing protruding too much that might snap off. This piece here that I've carved today, or been carving recently, has been from white cedar, and that's fantastic. Anything related to the Californian redwoods or the cedar family carves really nicely. It also has its own bug repellents in it, so you don't get the white ants and things. Great for longevity. And the smell is fantastic too, which is always nice.
Just in terms of the chainsaw, how long does it take to get used to the chainsaw and to, you know, most people just use it to chop down trees and branches, but to do it in a way of trying to create art, how much of a challenge has that been?
Well, my first sculptures were horrendous. I think anyone will tell you, unless they're being polite, which they probably are. I was lucky enough to be chainsawing from the age of 16, and so I wouldn't say go out there, grab a chainsaw and swing it around. Chopping up timber is a very different ball game, and it all happens down round about waist level, whereas the dangerous thing about the chainsawing with sculpture is that you're often raising your chainsaw up to shoulder level and things, and that's when you have to be very careful. I would liken it to the fact that if you were to use a pencil as an occupation, as an architect or something, when you did eventually want to go into art, you would have the muscle memory to help you. And I would strongly suggest, if anyone was thinking about getting into chainsaw carving, to really put the hours and hours and hours in chainsawing, just chopping logs, and preferably getting some basic qualifications that are just knock all those bad habits on the head, because it is something that you need to concentrate on, which I think as a dyslexic and as someone who's very easily distracted is why the chainsaw works for me, because I can't switch off when I'm holding it. I have to concentrate.
Yes, concentration. It's very important when you're wielding a chainsaw. That's UK-born artist Adam Humphreys. You're listening to A Big Country. Still to come today, some special visitors at the Rathgar Lodge Aged Care Facility. And a huge urban development site doubles as a grazing property on Queensland's Sunshine Coast.
Now, it might sound like we're mustering cattle in the outback, but we're not. We're actually just a few kilometres inland from the beaches near Caloundra on Queensland's Sunshine Coast. Hello, I'm Jennifer Nichols. This commercial cattle business is operating on two big parcels of land that's being developed into a brand new city development. Between now and when the new city of Aura is finally complete, Andrew Newcomb can graze thousands of head of cattle on the site.
People actually get lost, even though it's as open as it is. they still get lost down here because there's 10,000 acres on one side of the property and then there's 3,000 acres on the other side. The highway, which you will see for 7 kilometres along the length of the place.
How many cattle in total are you running here?
We're about 3,500 head here.
How did you find out about this place, Andrew?
There was an advertisement in the Country Life 9 years ago, and there was about 700 applicants for the property. And it all come down to is how well you could sell yourself to Stocklands, because they are a developer. It is a work site, so we had to keep up with workplace and safety, fire management, weed control.
Andrew Newcombe doesn't live on site here all the time. He manages this herd while also running a busy plumbing business and his own cattle stud in nearby Gympie. He's got a pretty good setup though. So just boiled the kettle, putting a sugar into the cup of coffee. We're in a donga here, Andrew. You got all the comforts of home, beds?
Yeah, it's only somewhere to lay your head and that sort of thing. We always have a good campfire going over night time and have a couple of beers and that sort of thing.
So 5 or 6 days at a time, you were saying?
Yes, yeah. We've got the toilet block next door and that sort of thing. We've got 2 demountables, they're 12 by 3 metres. It's better than sleeping out under the stars, especially if it rains.
In terms of logistics, having that highway right next to you, you wouldn't want any cattle escaping.
No, we've got 2 caretakers on the place and their job is just permanently going around checking fences and gates. Also, everything is all electrified and our electric fences have got monitors on them. They will actually tell us then when there's a power faulty out, and then we can just go into that area within 2 to 3 kilometres and tell us where that fault is.
Have you had much of a problem with trespassers?
We had in the earlier days. They did come onto here until all of a sudden they realised the electric fences did actually rather hurt.
Why did you say 10,000 volts or something?
There's 10,000 volts run through it. It does hurt.
The Sunshine Coast might be picturesque, but it's not great grazing country. Andrew Newcombe and his team need to keep an eye on the cattle feeding on these coastal plains.
You've got to keep up with all other diseases and other things that happen. So today they're getting botulism, multi-min B12, and then the bigger calves are coming off and that sort of thing as well.
You were saying one of the biggest challenges about working the cattle down here is the fact that the pasture, it's pretty poor in terms of nutrition.
It's very low in nutritional value. The drier this country is, the better it is. So when everyone else is in drought, it's great down here. When it's wet, it's not real good. You'll find when it's really wet, they're all camped up on the roads, and we're lucky that we've got probably close to 100 kilometres of roads on the property. So they all camp up on the roads to stay dry, because it's like yourself, you don't want to have wet feet all the time, and they're similar as well.
Wendy Ward, you're down here helping with the mustering operation today. How do you get roped in?
Well, I guess I'm a part of the family, so I am with Andy's nephew. So yeah, I come down and help out whenever I can. It's great, I love it.
It's got to be a cattle property with a difference, so close to the beach.
Yeah, it's really great. From coming out from being contract mustering in central Queensland to down here, it's still great to be able to get out on the property and do cattle work.
Andrew Newcombe's cattle will be grazing here for some time to come. The vast development site isn't expected to be complete for another 18 years. But he's already noticing the urban sprawl is getting closer. Just getting to his local racetrack has got trickier.
People don't understand how close we are to Caloundra. Before they opened up the new Aura over there, we used to go to the Melbourne Cup on Melbourne Cup Day and drive to the back fence, go to the races, come back, jump in the vehicle and drive home, because it was only about 400 metres from her back fence. Now there's probably about 2 kilometres, so it's a little bit annoying that all these houses are being built on the property, but when we took the lease on, we realised that we're going to eventually get built out. It's amazing to see and that sort of thing. It's called progress, I suppose.
Here's Mansfield Young. Give him a pat.
My name is Alison and I live here in Rathgar. We have been brought out here into the lovely weather to see the horses. I find it really great. I love the horses.
Behind you, two lovely ladies.
It's visiting time at the Rathgar Lodge Aged Care Facility in the small farming community of Ulmurra in northern New South Wales. and two very special guests are in the garden.
Angus, you're a lovely big horsey. You are a lovely big horsey.
Hello, I'm Eloise Farrow-Smith. Two Clydesdale horses called Angus and William have come to visit, and a steady stream of wheelchairs and walking frames are making their way outside so the residents can say hello.
So gorgeous. Mm.
The man responsible for bringing these gentle giants along for the day is Scott Naylor. He's been bringing the horses to Rathgar Lodge for a couple of years now.
I'm an aged care nurse and I work here at Rathgar Lodge and I own Clydesdales. After doing my care work with the residents and talking to them about what I do, they were really interested in seeing the horses, and I thought, well, I'd speak to the care manager and go from there, and it was all, yeah, bring them in. So when I brought them in, they were, as you can see, they just love them, absolutely love them.
There's lots of laughter as the residents get close to the Clydesdales. Scott Naylor says the horses bring back many happy memories.
When they see these horses, the big horses, I think it brings back a lot of memories, a lot of childhood memories for them. Because a lot of these people in the country areas worked with horses, they grew up with horses, so, and seeing these big horses, they remember them pulling the milk cart up to the end of the driveway, and some I've had one lady tell that her and her three sisters used to ride the horse to school, smack him on the bum, send him home, and then at 3 o'clock the horse would be back there waiting for him to ride home again. So just bringing their memories back, which is great for me.
To show yourself off, don't you, Angus?
Resident Alison Trevithick is one of those with experience of horses.
Down in Melbourne we had trotters and pacers. That was a long while ago.
The old Clydesdale's not quite a trotter or a pacer, is it?
No, but all horses are beautiful. When I'm patting these horses here, I think they're lovely. And I've never been afraid of horses. So I'm enjoying their visit. They're such gentle giants.
They might be known as gentle giants, but the Clydesdale are big horses with very big feet. Is Scott Naylor worried someone might get hurt?
Yeah, the first time I did it I was, just because they're such a big animal. They've got big feet and they've only got to step and tread and they may do damage, but after the first 5 minutes, I realised the horses knew that they weren't allowed to do that, and they just stood there and they were great. So that sort of went pretty quick. But saying that, I am still very wary of what they can do. So I'm sort of always on that little bit of edge just to make sure to pull them back. These horses especially, they have a sixth sense where that they know that these people are frail, and they are a gentle animal, so they know that they're frail, so they are gentle with the residents, and they know if they push too hard or they bump too far or something like that, that will actually hurt them.
Residents John Tracker Harold and his mate Noel Ellum are sitting in the sunshine, patiently waiting for Scott Naylor to bring Angus over to say hello. They're delighted that the horses have come to visit again.
Takes me back 70 years, the best part of my life. Terrific. They haven't changed one bit. They're the most intelligent animal I've ever seen in my life. They can talk, they can walk, they can do anything you ask. They know, they can hear you. They're smarter than a dog or a cat or anything. They're wonderful.
They're terrific when he brings them in, which he does quite often. And everyone enjoys them. They've been nice and friendly and everything else. And all the people love them.
Visiting hours are over and Scott Naylor prepares to take Angus and William home at the end of the day. He's in no doubt about the positive effect these visits have in the lives of the residents.
As I pulled up today, one of the residents was actually watching out the window waiting for me to turn up, so as soon as I pulled up he was out the door ready to come and have a look and play and pat. So yes, I really think the residents enjoy it immensely every time I bring them in.
Aged care nurse and Clydesdale horse owner Scott Naylor definitely bringing joy to the residents of the Rathgar Lodge Aged Care Facility. That's in the small farming community of Ulmurra in northern New South Wales. And that's the show for this week. Thanks to Kerry Dell for technical production. We are back at the same time next week, or listen to us anytime on the ABC Listen app. I'm Edwina Farley. Bye for now.